Some of you are now recognizing that when Trinity called me to be a pastor here, they basically said, you can come, but only if your wife comes with you. February of last year, we started a sermon series on the Gospel of Mark. I preached on one verse, Mark 1, verse 1. So today I just want to do like a recap of those 16 chapters, you know, verse by verse. So just take your watches off. We'll be here. Let me begin here. Holy Week, says one writer, is the greatest week in the history of the world. Re-preached, relived, re-gifted annually to the people of God, so that we never forget how far Jesus goes to bring us home to the Father. And so on Good Friday, Jesus dies a painful, shameful death. Jesus experiences God forsakenness, God abandonment. Jesus cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so at that moment, darkness falls over the entire land as Jesus hangs on the cross. For 3 hours, darkness falls upon Jesus, falls upon the cross, indeed falls on the entire land. What's going on? We talked about this last week. At that moment, all the world's sins are falling upon one man, the one for the many. As all the world's sins are being poured out upon Jesus at the cross. Imagine the murders of 1,000 killing fields throughout history on all continents. All the sins of murder and pride and selfishness and jealousy and resentment and bitterness all being poured out on Jesus for our sins, big and small. So Jesus lived the life we could never live. Died the death that we deserve. Jesus bore the wrath of God for our sins so that we might know the great love of God in Jesus Christ. That is the amazing grace which we sung about today. An amazing display of the love of God that we see through His Son, Jesus Christ. And today we celebrate the resurrection. And I want to ask, well, what does that even mean? What does it even tell you? I have a very simple message today on this very powerful day. You see, the resurrection tells you a ton of things about the character of God, about our life and our purpose for our existence. But let me share with you just 3 ways and what the resurrection means today with you. First, the resurrection tells you very simply that Jesus longs to be with you. That Jesus longs in his heart of hearts to be with you. Mark 16, a young man is described in angelic terms and gives this message to 3 women at the tomb. He has risen. He is not here. Now this is the greatest message the world has ever received, given in an economy of words, so very succinct. This is not how you or I would fabricate a myth or decide to spin a tale. So listen to what he tells the women. But go, tell the disciples and Peter. Peter that denied Jesus not once, not twice, 3 times, saying, I don't know the man. I never met the man. Listen to that with Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And so in the resurrection account, there's not one great truth, but 2. Jesus is risen, and Jesus will be with you. And both truths, I would argue, are amazing. And both truths are actually interconnected one to the other. A few years ago, a golfer by the name, the great name, of Bubba Watson won the Holy Grail of golf tournaments, the Masters Golf Championship, an American playoff round. And afterwards, Bubba, more like a wrestling name than a golfer name, but who am I to judge? Afterwards, they asked Bubba, is this a childhood dream come true? And you're thinking, of course it is. Of course he dreamed his whole life to win the Holy Grail of golf championships. And yet this is what he says after the podium, after the match, after the tournament. He said, I never had a dream go this far. Friends, Easter is like that. That we never had a dream go this far. That we never had in our wildest imaginations, in our wildest dreams, go this far. Jesus rising from the dead. The women at the tomb were not dreaming about the resurrection. They were worried about rolling away the stone. They were worried about having closure. They were worried about giving one more act of devotion to a man called Jesus, whom they loved. I never had a dream this far. This could have been the testimony of these three women at the tomb. Because they never had a dream that they would be with Jesus again after the tomb, after his death, that Jesus would appear again to be with his disciples whom he loved. And so the simplest message in the entire Bible is a very simple promise. It's simple in its surprisingness, spectacular in its promise, and it's this: Jesus longs to be with you. That's the kind of relationship he wants to have with you. And it's so simple that we often miss it. Even Christians. Oh, Christian, don't you miss this time and time again, day after day? If your friends and family really looked and really inspected your life, would they say that you have forgotten it? Because as they look at your life, do they look upon a life that says, you only want to be with Jesus? And that Jesus has moved heaven and earth and the tomb to be with you. Don't forget this very simple truth. If you're still here today, sort of wondering, sort of questioning, what is it about Christianity? What is it about Jesus? Here's the very simple truth. Jesus longs to be with you. It's the simplest of truths. We put this message down at the very bottom shelf for all people, for all time. God will seek after you. God will pursue you. All you have to do is open your heart in faith and in trust. So Jesus being raised from the dead tells you that Jesus wants and longs to be with you. A very simple message, a very powerful day. Second, the resurrection of Jesus tells you that Jesus loves you. The very first thing that you learn about Christianity, maybe as a child, Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. The first thing you learn is the last thing you master. My wife, you've heard her testimony. Does it give you any surprise that the hardest thing for her to understand is the love of God? Because she never received it for the first 15 years of her life from mom and dad. And so that message of God's love bursts into our hearts. And it should burst into each and every one of our hearts, because that is the heart of the Father. Jesus loves you
And here's the rest of the message of the resurrection. And you don't have to do anything spectacular or anything sensational to earn that love. You simply have to receive it. You simply have to rest in it. But you and I, we love to live restless lives. You and I, we love to live spectacular and sensational lives so that we can carve out an identity that is lovable and present ourselves to the world as, of course, I am lovable. Don't you see all that I'm about? And so, like Adam and Eve, we sort of stitch together fig leaves. We begin to hide our true selves from others. Six ways that we do this. Possessions. See what I have. Popularity. Well, don't you see what others say about me? We take on personas. See the version I want you to see. We hide in performance. See what I do, not who I am. Pedigree. See who or maybe where I come from. And power. See, if you can only see what I'm capable of, spectacular, sensational things. If I do these spectacular, these sensational things, maybe, just maybe, someone might love me. So the cross and resurrection always tell you a different story. The cross and resurrection tell you Jesus has already done this spectacular thing. Jesus has already done this spectacular work for you. And so you simply have to receive it. You simply have to build a life on it. You have to believe that God does really love you in Christ. That he sent Christ to die for you and sent Christ to be raised for you so you can live eternally and fully united with God. In the Greek language, in which the New Testament was written, I know many of you just wait for the day that preachers refer to the Greek language. You're like, you're going to do this on Easter, really? Here we go. The Greek language has two words for life. Bios, which means mere biological existence, and zoe, which means life in all its fullness. And so what we are being offered in the resurrection of Jesus is zoe, life in all its fullness, which not even death itself can destroy. So make no mistake about it. Resurrection life does not mean just the extension of our biological existence, but rather the transformation of that existence, a transformation of life, a transformation into the fullness of life that's meant to be lived with and by and alongside the God of the universe. And this is exactly what happened to those first disciples in the early church. Think about Peter's paralyzing guilt. Three times he denies his master. Three times he denies the Savior. Think about the beloved John's heartache. Or Mary Magdalene's despair. They're all transformed by the spectacular display of Christ's love. So the resurrection tells you the good news. Jesus loves you. And you don't have to do anything spectacular or anything sensational to earn that love. You simply need to rest in it. And guess what we call that rest? We call that rest faith. Resting in what Jesus has done for you. So I ask you on this great Easter day, are you simply resting in God's love? Or are you trying to live this spectacular life that often leads to burnout and stress and frustration and ruined relationships? The resurrection tells you Christ has already done the spectacular work. Now your job is to rest in his work.
Third, the resurrection tells you that Jesus longs to give you a mission, a resurrection mission. In all four Gospels, there is these words of Jesus, a mission that immediately follows the resurrection account. And as the book of Mark narrates this empty tomb, you find yourself asking, hey, what about all the apostles and disciples? Where are they? What about all the people healed by Jesus during his earthly ministry? What about all his admirers in the triumphal entry? And so there's this magical moment in the gospel where these three women were the whole church. A moment in time when only these three women in the whole world knew this truth. Jesus is alive. A moment in time where these three women only, walking on the entire planet Earth, held in their hearts this truth. He is not here. He is risen from the grave. And so for a brief, sacred moment, this truth is held so vulnerably by these three trembling women. The question is, would they cherish it and decide to keep it for themselves? Or would they share it with others and begin to light a fire of love and grace and mercy to be unleashed upon the entire world? So this Easter, I ask you, what about you? What about you? Each one of us, no matter how seemingly insignificant or small, is a single thread in the story. And this great resurrection story of Jesus has been entrusted to each one of us. What will you do? Will you keep it to yourself, or will you share it with the world? You might feel like a solitary voice, but your words have power, resurrection power, to ignite change, to bring comfort, to lead others to the feet of Jesus, to heal wounds and trauma, and reconcile us to one another and with God the Father. So friends, spread the message of Easter far and wide. You have a resurrection mission. Can I pray for you this morning? Would you bow your heads and pray? Father, thank you for very simple truths. And thank you for a very powerful day that made it all possible. Father, we want to just breathe in and take in the goodness of God and the mercy of God that somehow miraculously linked to the power of God. Lord, in our world, power is often self-serving. But for you, power was always linked to your great love and your great mercy. And so again, bring us to the empty tomb. Ignite in our hearts the mercy of God. Help us wrap our heads around it. Father, if there's anyone here that's never taken that transformational step of faithful resting in what you have done, and all they have to say is, help me in, O Lord Jesus. Lord, I believe in you. Help me follow you for the rest of my days. And it's that very simple prayer, O God, that you always hear and that you always answer. Father, help us not to keep this message to ourselves, but share it with the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name.